everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 84 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. And we have potentially a packed show tonight. We'll try to condense it as much as we can as Sin eats his Halloween candy. How are you guys doing, Sin, Desraven?
I'm well. Other than... I got Halloween candy.
You had Halloween candy.
I'm gonna have a.
Did not hear that.
I'm gonna have a watermelon sugar high. And rip to Craig again this week. This week, as you're probably gonna hear now, pre-show is I'm gonna be the new Gator, so I'm gonna be recording OBS style. And Kingsley called me out. He says, oh, yeah, your game audio. I'm like, great. Now I can't play while podcasting. I'm going to be so bored, but now I got a bucket full of candy, so I won't be bored. I kid. Dez, how are you?
Doing all right. Yeah, first of all, being allowed back into the podcast I'm co-hosting is fantastic. So that's great.
My balls hurt now.
Excuse me.
Pause.
Do you have COVID? Are we going to have to kick you off? No. Heard some coffee.
No, it's freaking allergies. Allergies 2.0. I'm just glad I'm able to speak, because I know when we're running yesterday, that sounds about right. I just knew my voice was going to be gone. I've had a rough roller coaster of a week that's been everywhere. Because last Monday, rip the 6-7 year legacy of my PS4.
Okay, so for those that
I remember that now.
You had an issue with your PS4.
It died.
Up happening with that?
Power it cord didn't. Or hard drive?
It died. Power supply.
Big oof on that.
All right. But there's good and bad about that, I think, right? As we talked about.
Indeed. I do have a replacement. We have a computer repair shop that does video game sales and repairs as well. So I bought one of their refurbished units. So I'm back up and running after many, 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 many downloads. And thanks to the incredible generosity found within our community, one went by the username Guardian Love to stay anonymous. But sent me a code, so I can pre-order Beyond Light.
That's cool.
But I'm like all pre-ordered now and
ready to go.
I'll be able to once again in like a week or so time. Re-download Destiny 2.
because the whole thing.
Well, that's okay. You would have had to anyway, regardless of your PS4 hitting the crapshoot.
Yeah,
you basically got to re-download the game anyway.
Exactly. But it was like I was saying. I was hoping my PS4 would at least, or like I've told people, I was hoping my PS4 would last, a few more months. Until it could be replaced, but I guess my PS4 sensed the tides of change coming and said, "Screw you, buddy, I'm out."
And hopefully all your game saves are okay, because that's just on the hard drive, right?
They should be fine. I still obviously haven't taken it to the shop because I do procrastinate like crazy. My old PS4 is still.
Thanks to your
information, I have about a price range to consider for repair. And then probably sell the sucker off and make back some of that debt.
Solid.
Okay. Man, that's crazy that all that. And I don't think mine's necessarily dying, but I've been noticing some weird things lately. The last couple of days when I've been playing on PS4, I'll get those messages. Your copy of Destiny is corrupt and the game crashed. It didn't say you have to reinstall yet, but it says if this keeps happening, you may want to reinstall. And then the only way I could fix it was by restarting the PlayStation. And then it would hold for a while. And then again today when I came back to play, same thing. It kept saying I'd boot up the game, get to character selection screen, and then the game would crash. And it says, Destiny game data is corrupted. Please try again. Reinstall if you need. And
curious.
Yeah. And I'm like, that hasn't happened ever before, especially, you know, I have a PS4 Pro. I have a solid state drive. I don't know what would be getting messed up, but I guess it's kind of good that the Shadowkeep will just re-download the whole thing anyway, so I'll see if I can wait off until then and get a better copy of it.
Yeah, it's weird though, but then again, like I said, I even had early warning signs that I didn't even know about.
Oh man, that actually kind of brings me to a question I gotta ask. So I just today took the pre-order code that came with the collector's edition, and I redeemed it. So it's whatever the digital deluxe is that comes with the collectors, but it's only on PS4. So to clarify, for anybody that might be listening, that the seasons will transfer over across platform, but you still have to buy the base expansion on each platform that you're going to be playing on. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Think of it as think of it as like you have to, because Sony and Xbox and Steam, the distributors, they want their cut of the money. So every platform you're on, you have to, and of course Bungie does too, but for multiple reasons, every platform you're on, you do have to pay for a game. Usually. But since the season passes are technically through the back end, through Bungie, through the Silver store, you know, if you buy the deluxe edition, it just puts codes in the back end saying you can unlock them. But if you don't, like if you do what I did last year, mostly just for science and because I wanted to just space out the cash flow of the purchases, but I actually bought each season individually. And sure enough, I tested it each season. One season I bought it on PS4. The next season I bought it on PC on Steam. And you just buy it through the Silver store. It's the $10 purchase, and then it activates to your account. And then yes, it works on all your platforms where you may have a
nice app. So I'm ready to go on PS4, apparently, just not PC. I've not bought the expansion on PC.
Gotcha. I just bought standard edition on PC a couple days ago. Finally got around to it. I haven't bought it in anywhere yet until then. Xbox, I'll be having Games Pass, which also will count for the quote purchase. As long as Games Pass has Destiny, you'll be able to play it that way. Maybe down the road it won't, and then you might have to buy it. I still need to buy it for PS4 also. I'll probably put that off until the first time I hop over to PS4, but which may even be one of the first couple. Who knows? But for now, I'm just kind of spacing it out some.
Speaking of, that reminds me, I can actually use my PS4 because that game audio is not recorded by OBS.
There you go, Sin. We do need your live correspondent, what you're doing in the game, so feel free.
Actually spacing out while we were talking. I was looking, going through, because I don't always have a lot of time to go through all the apps or, I would say, launchers on my desktop. I was just opening up Epic again, and I always like to go into Epic and buy the free games, which is not really buying. It's just adding them to your account. And I noticed Jedi Fallen Order is only $30 on Epic Store right now, along with Death Stranding is only $42. Not that I have time to play them.
How did this go from a question of buying the free games to
$30 and
$40?
I was going through it. Yes.
I guess that's pretty good.
So anybody's looking to buy them, get them on sale.
Nice. Well, I guess we better get into some of the Destiny news because we have a lot to talk about. And then if we have time at the end of the show, we can shoot the breeze with some other stuff, but maybe other games are playing or whatever. But let's start with the Vidoc. We don't have to go into a lot of details, but did you all have anything that stood out to you guys about the Vidoc? I know there's a lot of things. At first, it kind of just showed where we came from, and then it showed all the new stuff. And then it kind of like the last third of it, it was showing the new season of The Hunt. And of course, the new like players, a little more with Shahan, the Cosmodrome. Did that get you hype? Did you notice anything in there? I noticed one thing I'm going to talk about, kind of maybe spoilery, but Bungie put it out there, so.
It was in the Vidoc, so I mean, yep. The only way that you missed it was if it, you didn't watch the Vidoc. I guess I'll say potentially anything other than, you know, Zavala hanging out with Cabal and Osiris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because there's some speculation of what, I mean, that could be interpreted a lot of ways, right?
I am definitely most curious on why these Cabal are working with Zavala, for certain.
Did you notice Osiris in the background, too?
Oh, yeah, you know, skulking, yeah. Chilling, you know, arms crossed, wallflower, I guess doing Osiris things.
Doing his Osiris things.
Exactly. Just off in the back, you know, thinking about whatever the crap he thinks about anymore. But it is interesting to see Osiris back because potentially we're going to see a more active Osiris now. Considering, I guess he's not going to have any other preoccupations. Because as the Saint 14 season told us, that's, you know, retrieving Saint 14 was a lot on his mind and trying to find a way to do that. So potentially this is a more Osiris rather than, you know, the I work too much Osiris.
There's a difference.
One thing I heard was that maybe Osiris, I don't like this idea as much, but maybe Osiris was just kind of like showing us in Zavala stuff. And so like Zavala and Osiris are kind of in the background and then we're just seeing the, you know, he's like doing a message through time crap like that, you know? I don't know though.
But I think I don't know
if we're working with the Cabal. I mean, we've worked with the Fallen somewhat and I just think it's cool. Like I certainly there could be some Cabal that are like more, you know, free agents, right? And they're willing to like, we just want to, whatever we can do to, you know, whatever. And then some cool high up commander that we're working with. And I don't know. It just seems pretty neat to me.
I mean, who knows? They could be callous spies that are in the Red Legion still and have been told to help us because callous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kallus. I mean, he definitely wants some guardians as his shadows, so. I mean, probably a stretch, but possible. As far as Osiris time gimmick, I kind of hope not.
Me too.
I kind of hope it's not just some, oh, let me know, twist these cubes this way and that way and show you this. I don't know. I'm stoked the fact that we're actually going up against, which I guess that's Season of the Hunt things then, right? I guess if we're going up against Hive.
Yeah, that's that Season of the Hunt that they kind of talk about also. And the Hive Celebrant and fighting Hive, like, it's going to be some public event, undoubtedly. And they even showed on the Dreaming City, it looked like a Hive Cabal, Gunner Cabal, you know. I don't know if you noticed that in the Vidoc, in the gardens there with the Dreaming City, and it showed like this Hive-looking, or no, sorry, Taken-looking Cabal in the area that we were working on, so.
It'd be nice to go back to the Dreaming City for something else. That 15th wish, though.
I feel like we were joking about the 15th wish when we were rating the other day. Does that ring a bell?
Potentially.
It was just something silly. It was like shoot a. Was it like shoot a rocket?
Oh yeah, shoot the gate. Yeah, because I think you. Yeah, I think you mentioned this when we're going to get the wish, because they're going to bring like Gjallarhorn back, and we're going to have to shoot that at the wish wall, and poof, 15 wish. Yeah. Oh, that was a good time. But yeah, because I just now realized that the Hive could indeed be the season of the hunt, because yeah, Beyond Light, as the Vidoc definitely told us, because I forgot to watch the story reveal for Beyond Light. But the Vidoc made mention that our main enemies are another fallen subfaction that are breaking off and finding replacements for Aether.
Yeah. Yeah, they are the Aramis. You see her destroy the Servitor. I don't know if that's the prime Servitor for their faction, but I guess they're going to have a replacement for Aether if they're not needing the Servitors.
I guess that's one thing they made mention of, the fact that apparently these stasis abilities that we're getting, they got first? Question mark? If I remember correctly?
I think so. That's what it seems like. They get it first, and then it seems like the Stranger and Varix are all concerned, and then they're like, they call us for help or whatever. I don't know if this is exactly how it's going down. And then they found a way to use that power too. It looks, we see the Stranger using the powers also, and like, we got to use the powers also and everything like that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's, they've definitely done a good enough, because again, I didn't watch the story reveal trailer, but at least through the Vidoc, they seem to have done a good enough job to kind of tell us what we're doing without exactly telling us how or why.
Yeah. Man, you got to watch the story reveal. I mean, it didn't give us too much more information other than it's just hype with the Paint It Black song in the background.
Nice.
It is really hype. I noticed two other things in this Vidoc. So one is they showed a map of the Considrome and how much we're going to get, which is good and bad news. I mean, I think, again, they're setting expectations. And by the way, because this will be a good topic while I use that word, setting expectations, Luke Smith was on a Twitch stream the other day, and they were asking him what will be the size of this new expansion. And he straight up said, okay, sorry, it's not going to be as big as Forsaken, but it'll definitely be bigger than Shadowkeep. Says we have to set our expectations these days. We don't have other studios working on, you know, Vicarious Visions and these other studios working on the content with us. So there's only so much we can do. I'm like, fair. I do hope Bungie can continue to grow though and add more employees so that in the future they could maybe have even bigger expansions. Who knows? But it's good that they set that expectation.
Yeah, and because I know I looked on Twitter, or looks like some of the comments on Twitter, and it did make the joke that now apparently people are praising Luke Smith for his honesty.
Oh, okay. Hmm. That's, I'm surprised. That's good news. You would think everyone would just be salty
Well, I'm not going to say everyone, but there was a large consensus that was like, oh man, at least he's being like honest and straightforward with us now, which is ironic considering Luke Smith kind of has always been honest and straightforward. It's just, well, the infamous throw your money at the screen line, which we ended up doing anyway, but we got mad at him for saying it. But anywho.
No, you're right, because when I was watching this and he wanted to tell us something else, in fact, one of the questions was, what else can you tell us that we don't know yet? And he's like, well, boy, there's a lot, but I don't want to tell you certain things. And also, I don't know what we have planned to come out in certain ways. And then you saw him like texting. He was talking to, he even told everyone, he's like, I'm talking to PR basically to see if there's anything else I can tell you guys. And it took a while, but then they came back and that's where we got the nugget of information. Also that about transmog and how we can, we finally know that anything we've ever earned, basically that's in our collections, will be able to be used for transmog. So we don't have to hold on to armor in our vault.
Yeah.
Unless you want it for stats in the meantime or something, but
yeah,
that's really good news.
Holding on to armor for vanity is not necessary. The system will, as semi-paraphrased from Luke Smith, the system will like deep dive into your account to find everything.
And that's how I was hoping it would work, but it's good
exactly.
to finally know.
So what you're saying exactly. is clear out everything that you've been holding on to that you're not really going to be using, because these purples will be
armor-wise, yes.
They will have a seasonal cap at some point, just like the weapons, right? So there really is no point of keeping hold of it going into the next season unless, one, you have a set that's masterworked, that's got decent stat rolls that you want to carry in, because you don't know what you're going to get up until, let's say, you're going to be doing day one raid. You could take those pieces and infuse them up because they will still be viable this season. But for the most part, that's probably only going to be one or two sets. So there's really no point of keeping everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just keep two sets. My main set Crucible. And then a set for Garden Raid. Because, of course I don't Crucible.
Wait a minute. Like you told me earlier. Let me know if you hop into Crucible. I might jump in with you. Your exact words.
Can you believe? Guess. See if you can guess why I said that.
Boredom?
Probably a Soros catalyst or a Vigilance catalyst. Oh, wow. That'd be the only reason I could see you jumping in there.
Oh my gosh, Sin, you don't even remember because I specifically told you.
I know,
you like
but I was, in all fairness, I was staring at the screen working on my Ariana's catalyst.
Because, okay, and this will be another top boy. We're going to be all over the place tonight, but I'll save this for a little bit later. I'm not like heavily saving bounties, but I am saving some. And there is the clan bounty for running Crucible matches with and getting the 20 final blows. And so since that's fairly easy, 20 final blows, you know, between you and some clan mates, I figured I could start working on that.
That's right. You did say that. And for some reason, I glazed over the comment because the comment right before that was Crucible and Gambit bounties you do not want to keep because it can mess with your pinnacles next season.
Yes, yes. But we will save that. We will save that information, Sin. That is
it's coming.
I can't get off track on this too far yet. We have a lot.
Yeah, for sure. But I also will say I am also keeping certain pieces of armor because I don't know exactly how extensive transmog will be. Because we still don't know, like, if all of the ornaments, or I missed it, if they said it, if all of the ornaments for specific armor pieces, such as and transmog.
Oh, you may have cut out there a little bit, but specific armor pieces, what in transmog?
Those specific ones for like the faction rallies, Iron Banner, and stuff. Oh, if they're going to be universal to all armor, or if they're still going to be like that specific. So that's legitimately the only reason I'm saving certain armor pieces. Otherwise, it's scrapped.
Yeah. I haven't spent time to go through mine yet. I'll probably do that here sometime in the next week.
I need to. I definitely need to go through my vault and get rid of stuff.
Yeah, I will, though.
I did.
Okay, one other thing I noticed on the Viaduct, of course, as we were starting to talk about this, is the size of the Cosmodrome. They showed us basically the map of it, and we already kind of knew because they said in the TWAB a few weeks back that we're not getting the Plague Lens, at least not yet, because it's their off limits or whatever, you know. But now they showed us what we're getting with the Cosmodrome, and I was a little disappointed, but whatever. It's a smaller area than I was hoping. It's not even the rest of it. It's about half to two-thirds of the Cosmodrome. So I was going to overlay a map on my own even before Tassie came up with the idea, but okay, he did it. So it made it easier. I have an article pulled up here. And, you know, the bottom area where you beam in, there's that. And then the going west, you have the Moth Yards, you know, all that area, mm-hmm. Skywatch, all the way up through Forgotten Shore. But we don't have anything east like King's Watch, Rocket Yard, the Divide.
Hmm.
We will, of course, have the area for the strike, the Will of Crota strike, which I will get to next as another interesting point. But what do you think about this? I mean, of course, we'll have lost sectors and extra things to find, but do you think they just didn't have time to bring it all back, or maybe more will come back soon?
I mean, potentially. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is maybe they didn't, you know, with everything that's going on, they probably didn't want to sacrifice. Okay, here's my hopeful part. For Redux content. So I'm hoping that they just weren't able to finish retouching stuff. Finish the main stuff. So that way they can finish the main stuff, is what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually predicting that, you know, we're getting a few more of the strikes like Fallen Saber and Sepix Prime later, yeah, within this same year. We don't even have to wait for the next DLC. So what if this will be one of the best seasonal drops each season leading this year, where we unlock new parts of the Cosmodrome and they actually open up and we get extra strikes and extra maps?
That would definitely be interesting.
That'd be cool.
And yeah, I was going to say it would make sense that way, that they've only done certain parts because it was viable to the story. So that could be another reason why they haven't opened it all up yet.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we don't have to wait a whole year for more of it. But either way, we're going to be getting some more strikes, we know. And Vault of Glass, I mean, again, where is that just going to be some portal on the Cosmodrome? Or, I mean, who knows? We don't even have to speculate about that right
well,
now.
Well, if Ikora would have just kept the dang portal from Season of Undying, then...
Yeah. Yeah, we had the portal in the tower.
Easy access, right there.
All right, so I don't know why Bungie's told us two things. They said the Will of the Crota strike's coming back, yet in this Vidoc, and I don't think it's just some early build that they accidentally put in here. There must be something they're trying to tell us, and they just forgot to or didn't need to yet. They're kind of keeping it a surprise or whatever. But there is a screenshot, and if you pause on it, the strike is not called the Will of Crota, it's called the Disgraced. And the screenshot they show, you know, it's that last little hallway till we get to the Omnigul area where all the Thrall are.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, in the Vidoc, they showed the cool Warlock, you know, the punch with the, that looks so cool. I'm excited to do the, you know, that the new power where it just showed all the Thrall just like melting. It would just like spread and they would all just kind of die. But it says defeat Navota, Navota. Now, huh? Is this a mini boss before Omnigul? Or is Omnigul not who we're going to fight anymore?
That's curious.
Potentially what this could be, because interestingly enough, if you remember certain strikes that got redone in D1, what was it? Prison of El, or not the Archon Priest? There we go.
Mm-hmm.
When it got redone in D1, it was redone in a way, and it was actually one of the few strikes that wasn't story necessary for you to go through. Because when Sepix was redone as, when the Sepix strike was redone, it was with the whole Siva story. Yeah. But we still saw, like, the corpse of Sepix at times. So I think it seems like, even though they're just bringing us old strikes, it seems like they're still, like, story updating the strikes.
Which is great, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would actually... I mean, that's it's a really cool level of detail that, you know, if this, well, that's what they're doing. Like, also when they brought back Fogoth, we didn't, we weren't actually facing Fogoth. It was another ogre or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess potentially this could be like a wizard or something following in Omnigul's footsteps, or bringing Omnigul back to bring Crota back, because, you know, Hive are weird.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we've defeated Omnigul enough in our world, and next time we'd have to be in the throne world, but we're just defeating some other wizard now. Who knows?
Or it could be like that one wizard in that one Strike and Forsaken, where like Omnigul's like ascendant soul is like controlling this one wizard, and we gotta like kill them both.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done it once before, but it'd be kind of cool to see that mechanic again.
See, I'm cautiously excited and optimistic still, even though the Cosmodrome isn't the whole amount. You know, being a D1 player, and you know, the people that didn't play all this are like, I don't care. Why are we caring so much about bringing old stuff back? But because they're doing it, they might as well do it well. Another screenshot they showed in the ViDoc was our favorite mission, the sky, or the what's that quote, you know, the mission where the array, you know, array. You know, that's where the Hive ships first beam in, and the epic music, satellite dishes opening up, and they showed a clip of that too in the ViDoc. I'm like, well, there's got to be a reason. Like, are we going to get some public event in that area where we get to do that? That's gonna be pretty cool.
I mean, I guess potentially, because that was a very iconic moment in D1.
Yeah.
Because, man, I think that's one of the first times I was, like, as a solo player, you know, going through the story solo, that's kind of the first time you get a little overwhelmed by everything they throw at you in that mission.
And the Hive ships just keep coming and keep coming, and you're just, like, bigger knights and wizards are like, oh, I haven't had to fight these bigger ones yet.
So, yeah, I mean, potentially, yeah, maybe there's, because I mean, unique public events certainly aren't out of the question.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm excited. So the ViDoc, those were the main things I had to say about the ViDoc, but it got me excited for sure.
I would say
it's definitely,
I would say between that and the launch trailer that they have showcased on the TWAB, they are definitely, you know, Bungie definitely does it right when it comes to hyping the player base up. So we are a week away.
Oh yeah,
and we'll be experiencing it firsthand. So I'm definitely excited
for sure. All right, let's go to the TWAB. They gave us the calendar. We don't have to go through all these things, but I do think it's interesting how, you know, obviously the DLC starts on the 10th, and we have some things like Empire Hunts as part of the DLC, along with the actual story missions. Also, discovering Europa's secrets go all the way through January 12th.
All right.
But the next week, we have the seasonal content, which is Season of the Hunt, and that starts 11/17, a week later, and season mission begins, and the Wrathborn hunts begin. And again, that was something about finding and fighting the Hive Celebrants. It's probably some seasonal public event, and that'll go on throughout the season. Of course, the raid is the 21st, the dawning, December 15th through January 5th. They do say, of course, you know, since it's got pushed back, the season will go, they don't give us exact dates, but it says November through February. You know, that's 3 months, so probably you know, early to mid-February would seem about right for this season. So that's cool.
Yeah. And I think thematically, I think I really enjoy Destiny starting like a new thing, and the first seasonal event we get is the Dawning. For some reason, that really satisfies me for some reason.
It does, too, because we always had the Halloween and the Christmas event in the same season in the past, and now they can kind of split them up more.
Yeah, so I'm kind of actually hoping on the sideline we might stick with this schedule, because like I said, this just really satisfies to me that we're starting something brand new, and very shortly after that is the Dawning, which is Destiny's start of something new. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
I bet we will. People have asked about that too, and And they kind of still need to have four seasons. Plus, Tassie wrote a question, are we going to have three? And he claims that Bungie PR wrote him back and said, we're for sure getting four seasons. It would make sense, too, because the deluxe edition you buy for $30 more. And if there's only three seasons versus four, it wouldn't be as good of a deal. So exactly. They kind of had to still do the four seasons. So it looks like for now we're on a November through November schedule. Yeah,
and that's, I'm okay with that. I think that does fall nicely in for the events.
Yeah.
Now the Halloween event does fall into what? What is it? Not Guardian Games. The Moments of Triumph and the... Yeah.
Moments of Triumph.
Kind of the culmination of the year end. That's the only thing that it would run into then, which is no big deal.
I mean, that, and again, thematically, I think it still makes sense considering Festival of the Lost is a time of remembrance. So it still actually fits in thematically with that season.
Yeah, next year. In fact, they should probably push back that to more like the Halloween event, maybe.
I know, right? Maybe have a... I mean, personally, I actually also wouldn't mind like a back-to-back season or like back-to-back seasonal events. Like once one ends, like the next one begins, and that's kind of how we close out the year, you know, Destiny is with this like big double event. But, you know, I'm no investment, whatever the crap that job title is over at Bungie.
Yeah, a live event or whatever.
Yeah.
I forget what you're saying.
Yeah, I did hear that. It's investment something team.
Investment specialist.
You invest pretty well.
All right, progression, power leveling. This is somewhat normal, I guess. Didn't we have a huge bump also for Shadowkeep? About 200 or so? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that seems about right. I don't remember it being 200.
Weren't we like 750 to 950-ish or something like that for Shadowkeep? I don't remember.
Actually, it bumped up to 750 at base for everything.
Yeah, but then Shadowkeep, though, went higher than that because the Garden Raid was in the 930s, 40s, 50s, I thought.
Yeah, but you still had to climb that, but everything was at a base of 750.
Oh, yes, yeah, and we will still get that. I was just wondering.
Okay. Oh, no, the progression. Yeah.
It was about 200 also, right, I think?
I believe so.
Anyways, it doesn't matter, but yeah, you bring up a good point. Good news for everyone who's starting off new and for
that one.
Playing a lot. You know, we were playing with Elmer Fudd, shout out to him, the other night, and he was saying, oh, yeah, I'm just barely at this level. Like, hey, don't worry about it. In 2 weeks, all of our stuff will be 1050 for everyone, at least. So, So there you go.
Gotta love those up.
Don't waste your upgrade modules right now.
Right. And gotta love those floor raises.
The what? Yeah, the floor. The raise on the power floor. The
power floor.
Oh, yes. Yes. So it's always interesting when the soft cap is so high. So the soft cap is going to 1,200, hard cap 1,250, and pinnacle cap 1,260. Sometimes people get confused with these terms, but remember, soft cap means everything, even blues, will be dropping higher for us.
Literally everything.
All the way up to 1,200. So I'm trying to remember what I did last year with Shadowkeep, but if we want to play smart and level up quickly, we don't want to be turning in or using powerfuls even until we get to 1,200. Cause otherwise, we're just wasting them.
Yeah, save powerfuls until you hit soft cap at a minimum. I'm sure there's a more efficient breakdown.
I mean, I guess we're just going to have to run around and do public events or stories, because if you start running the strikes and do your three strikes for the week, you'll get a powerful reward and you won't potentially want that, you know, until you hit 1,200. But
especially the day one raid, we need every power we can get, every little bit of power we can get to the 12.
Yeah, I think we'll obviously easily get to 1,200 because it's the soft cap anyways, and we have a week and a half. And then what I'll be reading next, we may actually have good luck getting to the 1230
contest mode. Yep.
I think we may do it, Sin, because there's some changes. What they told us is there's two things. I kind of look at this as a, by the way, I was a guest on Guardian Down this weekend also, and that'll be coming out about the same time this episode will be coming out. And we were talking about this too, and I kind of said it was like a two steps forward, one step back, in my opinion. But the two steps forward part is they told us that now, other than just our weekly powerfuls, like do the bounties, get a powerful reward, do three strikes, get a powerful reward, we now have the ability to get a, you know, random RNG chance, but a powerful reward and endgame rewards just for playing Strikes, Crucible, Gambit, and all that stuff. We can finally play the game how you want to play the game, you know, more so in my opinion anyways. So if you just want to stay in Strikes all day, you could, you know, you won't get a powerful drop every and strike, you know, reward screen, but you have the chance to get more powerfuls just by playing the game.
It's always good.
Yeah, right? I mean, why not? Why not, right? But Bungie giveth and they taketh away too.
This season yeah, we
have. Like they're like discussing with it, like...
Go ahead.
No, the fact that, like you said, there's just some people that just don't like certain game modes. You know, whether it be, you know, Gambit, Crucible, Strikes, whatever. You know, yeah. Not everything is for everybody. So they're finally like, you know what, let's make it a little easier for the people that really don't want to. Yeah, that way they don't feel pushed into playing content they don't like.
Now, it's funny because we already kind of had this with Prime Ingrams. So is this really just like making us feel better for something that we already kind of had, or
and then
we also kind of had it last season too. Remember with the seasonal recaster thing that would drop, you know, not ultimate, but you get so many per week, you'd get so many powerful on that. But I don't know. I still think this is a good
thing. As long as it's not doesn't turn out to the way it was year one, where you could get those engrams from Bird Lady. Tower. Yeah.
Oh, you mean for not?
Yeah.
Soraya Hawthorne.
That one. Hawthorne, where she was providing the engrams for like trials wins, and year one you could get trials weapons without actually having to step foot in trials.
Which I'm all about, like not pushing people into doing activities they don't like, but that was a little overboard. All right. Like trials gear and raid gear, that stuff needs to be gotten from where it comes from. Yeah. Just say, well, that's my opinion.
That. Yep. All right. Well, did anyone last season do the Zavala slot machine or other, you know, the gunsmith slot machine where when they were offering at level powerful rewards, you could go to them and turn in tokens?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Continue, because I have thoughts on this.
Did you do that, Dennis? Or are you just laughing because you have thoughts, even though you didn't do it?
Oh, I have thoughts, and I'm guilty of doing it. If I need to, I'm partially guilty of it. I'm definitely partially guilty of it myself.
Let's just tell the people what it was in case they never did it or forget. So you could go up to certain vendors, and there is websites and bots. I know we have a bot in the Discord too that would tell. Okay, so-and-so vendor is giving at-level rewards, and especially if it was like Zavala or the gunsmith, but especially like Zavala because you get armor also, you would go up to them, and if you had a lot of tokens, and let's say you kept getting bad luck and all your powerfuls were just dropping on your helmet or your arms or something, and for some darn reason you couldn't get your mark up, you know, you could go to Zavala, play the slot machine, throw a bunch of tokens at him, and hope that he would give you a mark. And then it would at least drop up at your average level. And so you could bring that slot back up. And I certainly used it. I used it with the recaster, with Zavala, with mostly those two. I think the gunsmith a little bit. But that is going away. You will not be able to do that anymore. They will drop at 20 below.
Oh, my God.
Do tell us.
Oh my God, I've been hoping for this change since Destiny 1. Vendors have been a source of powerful gear and like progression since D1. Good God. And it has been the source of so many vendor rule changes and back in D1, so many adding more currencies than what we even had just so you could turn in packages because Duh. I'm happy for this. I am so happy for this.
Hey, I'm fine. I do wish then, though, obviously the reason why we did this is because if we were getting bad luck with powerful drops, it would be nice for Bungie to start considering down the road to have a little more protection built in, duplication protection for not getting 10 powerful helmet drops in a row. But yeah. Short of that, I think I can agree too. Of course, it's even one more reason, like, why do we even care about tokens and the vendors at all then?
We don't.
That was the only time I ever really went to them to buy stuff.
I mean, at that point in time, legitimately, you might as well just, like, throw just weapons in the vendors and hunt for rolls. Because that's really the only reason to use tokens is to hunt rolls. I kind of also hope we do get something else to turn the tokens in for. Whether it be just, like, a token exchange for legendary shards or glimmer or something, which isn't going to happen right now, but maybe down the road.
I hope so. I mean, or God forbid, we get some system like D1 where we have, like, rotating, you know, just it's a static.
Oh, yeah, rotating vendor weapons. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rotating vendor weapons, you know.
It would be nice, but I mean, like I said, I'm just happy the fact that, like I said, there's no more chance at progression from vendors, finally.
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever for me, but it may make it a little harder for us then if we're trying to bad luck with
get up to level three
for leveling up. And here's the and thing, too. Yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say, you're probably going to hear like the next Forever 29 waves coming. It's probably not going to be that bad.
For me, and we were talking about this too on GDC, but everyone has different reasons for playing the game, and for some people they really love chasing after that power level. I used to be that way a long time ago, but now it's not as much of a desire for me. I wouldn't level up quickly if it wasn't for wanting to do the raid and the dungeons and things like that, but I don't care about the Grandmaster Nightfalls or these other things, and I would be down for leveling up slower and taking my time if we weren't trying to do this day one raid thing, which, by the way, we're chill about it. We know we probably aren't going to get world's first or anything like that, but we just want to have a fighting chance. And so we got to get our level up to 1030 ideally. And we got to play this whole game of playing the game a lot and getting a lot of powerful rewards.
Yeah. I'll have off that week four, so it's on.
All right. Economy changes. We don't have to go through all this, but they talked about a lot of things that will no longer be accepted by vendors, although we will talk about maybe some of the slightly controversial ones about how... okay, let's start with Bright Dust. again, they're giving us some nice things, but for people that play the game a lot, they're taken away. So with Bright Dust changes in next season, the free track players will get 7,500 of Bright Dust for free. The season pass owners will get an additional 3,000 on top of that. So 10,500 Bright Dust throughout a season just for playing the game and having the season pass. So that's pretty cool. I mean, if it's hard to do the calculations of what that's worth, but Hazel was saying that sometimes could be worth as much as $20 of Bright Dust.
But getting Bright Dust from, I was about to say, getting Bright Dust from Ingrams is an RNG roll in and of itself.
Yeah, but we all know things are still expensive from the store, and 10,000 can go quickly if you're buying certain armor sets or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that Bright Dust does go quick.
But weekly bounties, goodbye 200, it is down to 100 for each weekly bounty for Bright Dust. Not that 200 was tons, but I guess you could say it's cut in half. So I think what Bungie's doing is making it seem better for the people that are just light to moderate players and maybe getting people excited. I still think they're using this as a marketing technique to hope that people will like get some stuff in the store and get used to this buying stuff in the store through Bite Dust and then want to get even more. And if you're a heavy player, you can't get as more easily through just running the weekly bounties because that's been cut in half.
I mean, yeah, because people, I've definitely seen people say that this is, you know, for the more like the intermediate people, and even Bungie themselves say that people with a single character, regardless of playtime, will end up with more Bright Dust. But I mean, it's also in the long run the bottom dollar. Mm-hmm. It's hurting people. It will hurt people that are super active with multiple characters because they won't get as much Bright Dust, which means if they want things from the store, they'll have to buy them, which might also kind of be the point.
Yeah.
Revenue. Bungie, since they're like awesome game developers and all, but they're still running a business.
Yeah, they are. And I still wish there was like some, okay, we have the season pass, but why don't we have an option for like season pass plus, where like for an additional $20 or whatever, you get everything that's in the Bright Dust store for the season. You know what I mean? Like an all you can eat for an additional price. Some people would consider that. I would maybe consider it, because then if, I guess you're still taking a chance, you could save money if you weren't doing that, but I think it'd be good for some people. But then again, I guess they're not going to make money if not a lot of people sign up for that plan. And then the big whales out there, you know, the white whales, whatever they call them, that spend a lot of money, they instead of spending a lot of money, they would just be paying that additional $20 and getting everything.
Exactly. Which, it's always a fine line, but I kind of equate that. I mean, somebody can go and walk up to Sin and demand a free golf cart for whatever reason and see how that turns out.
Sin, you will give me a free golf cart.
Just remember, I'm going to stand your ground, State. So,
and that's my point. Because again, it's a business. You don't do crap like that. But yeah, I just think it's funny that when they make video games, but it's still a business. So I don't know. I see these things. It's water off a duck's backside. So yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we need our live correspondent time. I don't know if you're in the game, Des, but or Sin. Sin, what is your current Bright Dust, and what is your current legendary?
I just spent 4,000 Bright Dust. Yes.
Right now, while we were talking.
Not going to lie. You were talking about it.
He loves you, Sin. We're just talking.
You were talking about it, and I'm like, I'm on my Warlock, so I don't know if I want to necessarily complete. And I have like 1,100 of these of silver on here, so I was contemplating and spending a couple hundred to complete some sets of reverse sets that I didn't have for my Warlock. But I bought the chain emote, the one with the exotic chain emote.
Oh yeah,
and then I bought. Let's see, it's in my inventory, isn't it? Craft items or no? Oh, I think the Bright Dust one you buy automatically unlocks. It doesn't allow you to use it, apparently. I also bought the spider mask ornament, which I didn't have. Don't know why, but I did it.
And I grabbed that one too a while back or earlier.
And so, yeah. That is it. I was looking.
So you're lower on Bright Dust.
Yeah, and that's only just because I spent basically 4,000 of them.
That's all good. Okay, what about my bigger point actually was going to be legendary.
Oh, that one. How many, that one I have 13,000. 13,737 to be exact.
Well, I was just asking because you're actually really close to me. I have 13,000.
Yeah, I shard everything, and it will actually go up higher than that once the vault cleaning happens.
That's true.
I had a year off from playing, and I'm still not that far off from you guys.
They're just here's the thing.
I'm at 8,792. Like I said, I'm not that far off.
Yeah, you get to a point in the game where. Of course, blues are nothing. Legendaries feel like blues, and exotics feel like legendaries. It's just kind of
blah.
You're just dismantling so many things. And here's the thing, Spider. Do you remember he would actually sell legendary shards? I mean, I never needed to buy it, but he will no longer be selling legendary shards. Coming next season.
Okay.
This was removed because no one was using it. They said.
I mean. Probably, because you got people like us that are like, eh, yeah, whatever. You know? If you run low on legendary shards, play the game. Get a few legendary drops. Dismantle them. Profit. Yep.
But guess what we can use them on going forward? And this is pretty pricey. For 400 legendary shards, we can buy an enhancement prism. That'll be a new offering that he has.
That's actually pretty legit.
I think it's good. I mean, some people were saying this is pretty high. But then again, I don't know. It's like, I guess it's high for people that don't have a lot of legendary shards. But if you have a lot, you probably, I don't know. I don't even really need prisms right now. I have a lot of enhancement. I mean, shards and all that crap, but...
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. Also, with transmog, like you said, we're going to be actually reducing our armor sets. So we're actually potentially not going to need as many prisms.
Even. Some people masterwork a lot more things. I know I talked to some people, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got to masterwork so many things. And I don't really care as much. I know I should more, but I don't do PvP as much. So I don't have a reason for that. Raids... Yeah, I have like one or two sets that are masterworked. I'm not the type of person that every little good exotic drop I get that's a high stat, I immediately masterwork it. I mean, I might eventually. But I'll tell you, I'm sitting at a full stack of 10 Ascendant Shards and a full stack of 50 Enhancement Prisms. And so I don't have a need to buy any of these yet, but I can down the road. Now, they said he's stingy with them. You can only purchase 3 a week. Okay.
Let's see. Even I have 18.
Wait a minute.
Prisms.
You have how many enhancement prisms?
18.
He's got 50.
Oh, yeah, I only got 50 is the max.
Well, yeah, I have 18
things
because I haven't masterworked anything.
Yeah.
So I've literally only collected the prisms from the season pass track since I've been back. Mm-hmm. That's like it. Minus like 4, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. This new DLC, I plan on doing a little more better with min-maxing my armor, but I just haven't really felt the desire to ever since that all started. And I've done fine enough in the dungeons and all those things. I'm not trying to solo flawless these things. If I was, then I know that's way more important, min-maxing all that stuff, but
well,
I've survived.
I mean, yeah, here's the secret about min-maxing that a lot of people don't really realize. Because as with every MMO terminology and ideology that gets transferred over into Destiny, it becomes the new sensational topic, and then, of course, now everyone knows the term min-maxing. Min-maxing doesn't do that much in the grand scheme of things. It helps, but kinda.
Yeah, I don't doubt it helps, but they were even showing what was it, resilience? Like, it was hardly making a difference from like 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 it was like helping, but like everything below that, it was like not making much of a difference.
I mean, for sure. I mean, like I said, for sure it will help, but it doesn't help as much as people, like a lot of people might suggest it will help. And of course your hardcore players will definitely say it helps because they've spent all that time min-maxing their armor into perfection. So of course they're going to say it helps.
And they might notice it a little bit more, like if they're in a certain activity all the time and they're like, oh, I'm getting 3-shot now instead of 4-shot by this one ad, you know, whatever. So, and if that makes a difference to them for staying alive, if they're soloing something, that can maybe make sense to me, but yeah.
We're not those people.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not for sure. Okay. And then his other big thing is about the enhancement core exchange. Remember how that used to be, it would ascend, you know, you'd only want to get like 2 or 3 each time because then we go higher and higher and higher each time.
Exactly.
Super annoying. They removed that, which is really, really good because that's kind of a predatory practice. I mean, yeah, they use the funny little thing. That's how Spider is. Ha, ha, ha. He's one of those type of guys. But, you know, I think it's good that they removed that from the game. In its place, he will now sell you 5 enhancement cores a day at a fixed price of 30 each. So you can't get more than 5 a day, and they're going to be 30, just flat price.
Yeah, and they even break down in the 12 the math. Mm-hmm. Like, if you went through all the tracks and got every last enhancement core on Spider now, you're, what, saving this almost half legendary shards in the long run?
Yeah, yeah.
So
that'll be good.
Yeah. It's not bad. I do like it, because it is. It was annoying. Like you said, it didn't seem quite right.
No, it didn't.
Constantly increasing costs. I don't really like when they do that.
Yeah. And it was the only thing that did that, so it makes sense that they just changed it so it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, really cool news. Sparrows. They are all
green
instant summon.
It's sad. I was talking to people about this last night, and I think it was Helios. I'm like, this legitimately has me the most hype for next season, and I know that is the saddest thing ever, but this has me so hyped.
So, all of us, we weren't changing our ghosts because, yes, you do not have to have that perk on your sparrow or your ghost. Every single one will have instant summon.
So now they're going to get rid of, they're going to rework all of the stuff that has it to have a different perk now?
No. All the old stuff that still has it will still have it come the next season. But you'll be able to dismantle that sparrow. Because ghosts are getting modular anyway, so I don't know what they're doing there. But yeah, the sparrows that have quick summon now will have it. But you'll be able to dismantle, you'll be able to get that sparrow again. And it's not going to be able to get it anymore. So you have free extra perks or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's really good news. Really good.
So yeah, which, I mean, that's my metric for even keeping a sparrow. Is if it has quick summon.
Oh, for sure. And especially if you're doing like the Scourge of the Past raid, you got to have
that. Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just you get used to it everywhere too, but yeah, that's really good news. I keep forgetting about the ghost getting modular too. That'll be something else fun to check out.
Yeah.
Going forward.
All right, it's going to be nice to have sparrows and ghosts.
That do, yeah. And
some other arbitrary reason.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, and we'll talk about this in a little bit too, but be sure to put on your ghosts that have extra
10%ers.
If you have one of those, if you care. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see real quick. This is one last thing. It's pretty cool. Way cool. Eververse, the Bright Ingrams, it's just going to be really easy to know what's going on now. Bright Ingrams will have the chance to drop everything from three seasons back and older. So starting in season 12, yes. Anything from season 1 through 9, anything you have the chance to get.
Absolutely anything.
And so season 13 then would be 1 through 10, because three back.
Yep.
That just makes it easy. That is really good news. I'm still trying to, I wanted that dog emote. I never got that one.
Dog emote?
Yeah, there's like a petting dog or something. It was a seasonal event way back in the day, but it should be available.
I want the Pennywise emote that I never got. No clue.
Do you remember what season it came out in?
It was.
I think that was the first.
It was like first year.
That was the first DQ Festival lost. Yeah.
All right, so it should be available.
Well, I'll be going for it.
There will be instances of duplicate drops, but it'll also be weighted. So as you open more, your chances for earning things you don't own will increase. So I guess what they're saying is it's not
waste of time.
Checkoff system. But see, this is what they need to do with the powerful rewards too. Say like, okay, we're not going to say like, if you got a helmet, we're for sure going to do arms the next time, but we're not going to let you get more than 2 or 3 helmets at a time either. Well, that would be kind of a,
yeah,
good system to do. But maybe it's too much code for them to worry about right now.
Didn't they used to do that in D1 at some point in time? Yeah, they started weighting it towards the slot that was your lowest? Because if they just did that, like, just gave you a chance that, like I said, your lowest slot. I mean, I wouldn't say they did that, but it would be weird for them to have done that and then not do that now. So maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about bounties and then anything else that you guys want to talk about. And then we have some questions in the Discord.
Let's do it.
Bounties.
We were talking about that earlier.
Dez, are you saving up bounties?
Nope.
Okay. Sin, are you saving up?
Yep.
I like that.
Very much so.
Kingsley,
yep.
Are you saving up bounties? Somewhat. The answer
you burst my bubble somewhat. Earlier, and I did spoil it a little earlier on in the podcast. That
do you remember all the rules? So do you want to go over them, Sin? See if you can
basically no Crucible, no Gambit, and that's because of the pentacles that can drop from those activities during next season. And then,
but more specifically, right. From rank ups, so Valor or Infamy rank ups. If you hold on to any bounties at all from now and check them off in next season until you get a rank up in Valor or Infamy, it'll count that old one, and your first rank up you get will be a 1050. It won't be a
right
new powerful reward.
So the other thing is the Vanguard, you have to do before you pop the old bounties, you have to do the new ones.
Yes. Same reasoning. You know, if like Zavala has the thing, whatever, like do 8 bounties and I'll give you a, do 8 Vanguard bounties and I'll give you a powerful reward. Well, you got to do 8 of the new ones first if you're holding on to your old ones, and then get that powerful reward and then check off the old ones. Right. If you want to play the game smart.
So I just popped about 15 Crucible ones on my Warlock that I was saving up because you broke my heart.
Well, we don't have to do this.
I know. We don't have to do it.
See, I'm kind of saving up some now because might as well. I feel like they're kind of a waste to pop right now. But, and to me, this little game is kind of fun to remember. Okay, let's save Vanguard, but not the other ones and this and that. But at the same time, people, don't worry about it. Like, it's not that big of a deal to get your season pass bar leveled up quicker than everyone else. And then it's also not that big of a deal to get extra power on your artifact quicker than everyone else, because all that's going to help is, it's not going to help the first week of the raid anyways because of the
contest mode.
You know, the
modifier. And that doesn't include the artifact power.
And then, exactly. And who knows what other end game activity we'll even be caring about that we'll really need that immediate artifact power for.
Well, then so Trials doesn't even take into your artifact power into consideration anymore.
Yeah, so it's really only if, I guess, there's something in the season pass bar, like at level 40, that you really like and you want to get it way before everyone else. But I'll tell you, I remember, shout out to everyone that does the season pass bar really quick. And they're like, oh yeah, we got the Falling Guillotine Sword, you got to get it. Oh, we're so special, we did it before you. But I was just more taking my time. I mean, I do enough bounties, you know, to make, I know I need to get them while I'm playing the game so I can get the season pass bar done. But a week or two after them, I got it. Wasn't a big
deal. Yeah, there's still plenty of time left in the season.
So, yeah. What, Des?
That was agreeing. Sorry.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to let people know if you are saving bounties, the best way to do it, and but don't stress about it.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean,
Destiny recipes, if you do care, I think they have a cool thing that does show I have enough XP saved up to get about 6 season pass ranks checked off. I don't know if you're.
Yeah, I need to go into the Destiny recipe page and see how that kind of compares. I do need to go back over to my Titan, though, and take off the Crucible ones that I've been saving. I loaded up on more Moon ones as well, because I know those were ones that would be good to go. Those, and you said the EDZ. I'm planning on trying to load up the ones that don't make a difference for basically your drops. So I'm gonna go stack up on those at some point here over the next week, just so I can get a head start.
Yeah. And speaking of bounties, we might as well give a shout out to some of the questions we have right now. Big Seba wrote that exact question. Will you all be hoarding bounties to turn in at the start of the season? Well, I think you heard her answer.
In case you didn't. But, yep.
Or anyway. Original Sinwing O. Zero O.
I like whatever. It better.
He says, no, bounty hoarding needs to die.
And honestly, this will be the first time I've done it. And that's only because I have one goal in mind. And that would be the day one raid.
Sin, did you not listen to what we just said? It won't help that, with that.
But it will help with the bounty trend, or as far as the seasonal pass. Getting stuff.
Help with the raid?
Getting stuff unlocked. Okay. There's going to be a weapon on there. You know that's going to happen.
No, oh my gosh. See, that's what people want, again, with the falling guillotine. Yeah. It was definitely not necessary to do the in-game content. You could still do it fine, and everyone ended up getting it fairly quickly after.
You're talking about falling guillotine is like meta right now.
Oh yeah, but we all have it now too. But it's fine. It's fine. There was other swords too that were fine. Remember, until falling guillotine was just the better one once you finally got it. Well, we'll see if you have one of the better swords than me in the raid, and it helps us pass it, then I'll bow down to you. All right. Might as well go through a couple of these other questions while we're in here. Les, he writes, we've seen a lot about stasis and how it'll play out in PvE and PvP. How do you think the original three subclasses might change to help combat the new stasis powers, assuming there will be adjustments?
That is...
Well, I don't know. Do you guys think
there will be? I hope there are. I hope they rechange them or retool them like the stasis subclass kind of has that look and feel. Almost that modular look, as Des put it earlier, where you can kind of plug and play different, what are they called, artifacts or mods in them. And, aspects. You know, that would make it, that would give them a little more versatility if they did that. And also update them to this new Destiny 3 that they're going to, without the name. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they mentioned, or they may have stated, that they're not doing anything with them right now. But as time progresses, I hope they do.
I thought I heard somewhere that they weren't changing them or adjusting them at all. But that is just, I can't remember if I feel that or not.
So I remember. Hopefully, I thought I remembered also hearing that they weren't.
But this is another thing that Luke Smith said when he was on the stream. So not immediately, but they were asking, will we be getting more darkness powers down the road? And he kind of made it sound like it could be as late as the next year's DLC, but they will still be adding new darkness subclasses. So we will eventually get more stuff. And so maybe that will add on or replace one of these. I don't know if it's quite answering the question the same way, but I am excited about that news. So there, you know, it's not like we're going to have to wait another 3 years is what I'm saying. We're going to be getting some more subclasses potentially sooner than we normally do in the life of Destiny. All right. That's it with the questions. Did you two have any other things that I didn't bring up that you wanted to talk about? All the crazy amount of information that's out there.
No, I personally don't have anything else that I really want to touch on. I've a little bit that I've been able to get on with my crazy end of month work week. I've been doing Triumph stuff, Catalyst grinding. I did finish my Polaris Lands Catalyst.
That's right, sir.
Didn't we...
Very proud of you.
Did we do a raid the other night?
We did a few things, and what did we do, Des, the other day? Was it Last Wish, and did we do another one, or was it just Last Wish?
We did the. I know when I hopped in, y'all did P pieces of levy for someone's Acrius before I joined.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Then I joined in. Because again, yeah, Heroic Menagerie, which I was asking of the day prior. It worked out well that I was able to hop in with y'all after getting Mr. Monkey's help with Leviathan, so I was able to get my Izanagi's nice. Burden Catalyst.
Nice, yeah.
Hooray. And I finished it that night, so that's done. We hopped in Last Wish, skipped to Fogaroth 3.0.
Oh, that's right.
And finished it out pretty smoothly, I'd say.
Yeah, we did.
Also, considering I hadn't been in there since...
Hector was a pup. Whew,
what, year and a half?
Yeah, we were having fun, too. Just joking around. Yeah. And... Yep.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
And then, things started kind of breaking off. And like I said, in that party chat, it ended up being me, Helios, and Wicked. As I was finishing the Catalyst, and we all three ended up devolving into playing Genshin. So,
well, tell us about that. How's that going?
It's still going. It's definitely for me, like, still a casual experience. I'm still having fun, like, doing the exploration and stuff. Pretty soon they'll be getting their first update, so 1.1 is coming out. I don't know exactly when, but it is fairly soon, like within 2 weeks, potentially, at the most, I'm thinking. And that will be continuing the main quest. I don't think we're getting any new areas, because I think we'll be finishing up the story in Liyue. So, yeah, that's coming out, and, you know, interesting characters and stuff, potentially. So
you're still cool having fun with that?
Oh yeah, it's amazing. It's a game that I guess because it's like a persistent world, like looter type deal, I can just kind of go in and load it up when I don't have anything else to do. Like you get in those moments, like you want to play a game, but you don't exactly know what. Like you don't want to think enough to play Destiny. You're not like, you don't want to be super engaged, but you still want to do something. It's like this game for me totally fills that gap.
Yeah.
Where I can just go in, I can slash at some enemies, I can have some fun, I can do some exploration, I can like have ADHD beyond belief because I'll just go and do one thing and go, oh, hey, look at this. What was I doing? Oh, yeah. There's this, and get distracted again. It's all good.
And then, Sin, I don't think you... Have you been playing any other games? Yeah, me neither lately. I mean, I still was kind of thinking about it, but more people have been, again, getting in some of those last-minute raids. I did a bunch today also, so shout out to... we kind of mentioned it earlier, but shout out to WVU Avenger and Mr. Monkey getting Prestige Leviathan done. And of course, nice. You know, platinuming Destiny on that.
Nice.
And then we did a normal Spire Stars, and it was much smoother these days since we know what we're doing.
No longer your least favorite.
No, it really isn't. I mean, it's still kind of buggy. It really seems like it tends to be more buggy on certain people. Like today it was Wicked that was having the issues. Usually it's Helios. So we're kind of almost speculating too, like it's maybe because of internet issues or distance or lag or anything like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can even throw the ball and even when it says it doesn't count, if you hear the noise, it counts, but we weren't having that look today, Helios. Sorry. It's through it and it made the noise and it didn't say the words and we were just trying to push forward and sure enough we couldn't. So I don't know what was going on today, but we just switched to me doing it instead of Wicked and then it started working out at least. But I don't know. It's a fun enough raid. I'm, you know, kind of sad to see it go. But so we kind of did, you know, we had our send off last week for Eat of Worlds. And then I kind of had a semi mini send off on my stream today for Prestige Leviathan. I'm guessing it's the last one I'll do. I mean, unless another one comes up in the next week. And yeah, it's got to remember these raids are going away. So we're down to the wire, but if there's any everyone wants to do, you know, hit us up. We might be able to fit something in last minute.
Left. Do it now. Get those games up on the 100 or hit us up. I know there's a Converse mentioned he has a family member that's playing now that needs to melt through some raids. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's people. I keep hearing this stuff, so.
We need to get on that.
Yep.
Pause.
Well, we will. All right. Well, good talk tonight, everyone. And yeah, we went through a lot. And there will be even, who knows, next week could be the calm before the storm. But we're also at least getting patch notes, they said, in the next, which often there's some fun surprises in there. Like quality of life things that were like, oh, okay. I don't know if they're giving us all the patch notes. A lot of times we don't get all of them until the day of. But sometimes they give us a lot before. I do seem to remember now Shadowkeep. They gave us a lot of patch notes before. So hopefully we'll find out some cool gems there.
They got a week to give it to us.
Yep. Well, while everyone's thinking about that, why don't we give out our shout-outs? We'll start with Sin this week. Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia. Sin is C-Y-N and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven.
You can find me at always at DES_Raven on the Twitter. And again, thanks to the kindness of an individual in the community whom I believe I know who it is, but I'm not going to say to keep their anonymity. You will see me in Beyond Light, Kingsley.
Excellent. I love that. All right. Yeah. Thanks for that. Whoever that is. And, I want to give my shout outs next. This is, gosh, I'm like all thrown off now. Cause it was,
I pictured was Ace Ventura. When he was explaining something, it went long-winded and ran out of breath.
And yeah, pretty much. I was reading something, too. I just saw this thing. Okay, I got to get sidetracked here. On Raid Secrets, Destiny 1, huge new King's Fall Out of Bounds discovered. Okay, I'm checking this out after the podcast.
Lincoln and Spurlers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well,
yeah, but you still link it there.
But yeah, I can link it there. Anyways, yeah, everyone check that out. But yeah, you can find me as Kingsley Mac in all the places except for Twitter. I am MC Kingsley. Oh, also soon on Xbox. So, anyways, you can find our show on Twitter as The Guardian Hub or on our lovely website as theguardianhub.com.
On the net.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. I have an idea, but but anyways. but other than that, please consider joining our Discord if you haven't done so. We also have a lovely clan you can join. We'll find room for you, even though we're getting close to being full. The links are on our website, theguardianhub.com, under the About Us section. We have an awesome Discord. So many good people in here. I've been in a lot of Discords in the past, and everyone's been pretty cool here.
And we are one of three of the tripod.
The tripod.
Guardian
the
Dad. Tripod. Guardian Hub. And two Titans and a Hunter.
I don't know. Those Guardian Hub guys don't have that much. No, just kidding. Shout outs to all of them.
And I'm still waiting on an accurate twab from those Guardian Down guys.
I'm pretty sure that's Hazel's responsibility.
Yep, shout out.
Hazel. I'm just saying.
And by the time this podcast releases, the way it normally falls, Gator has his out on Monday. By the time I edit it,
his is out right now, actually.
Okay, so so it's not a spoiler. So unless you happen to listen to ours first before you listen to GDC, which you probably shouldn't. Gator, by far, can I say it, Kingsley?
You could say it. This one you can listen to even before ours. Like, then you wouldn't be hearing this, but because I'm on it. But
Gator now has the worst speedrun score on record.
Yep.
Oh God.
Yep, we pulled a fast one on him, Des. So you'll have to listen to that.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice, cause yeah, like I said, working Saturdays, that's become kind of without any kind of, like, management. It's become my thing to, like, listen through their episode and actively talk as the only person on the Discord awake at that hour on a Saturday.
I love the comments. Well, anyways, I guess we better wrap this up. But thanks again, everyone. Thanks for check us out in the Discord. Check out the other podcasts we talk about, and have a lovely week as we're getting that much closer to Beyond Light.
See you.
Stay fresh.
Later.
Bye.